Welcome to Home Ground. I'm Brian Kahn. We all know, or think we know, about politics. We elect governors, senators, congressmen, legislators. But we don't usually see what goes on behind the scenes to help make them effective in doing the human service part of their jobs. When we pick up the phone and call their office, we expect someone will answer. If we have a problem with bureaucracy and need help, that's the place we call. Human beings do that important work. One of them is Holly Luck. Holly, many thanks for joining us on Home Ground.
Thank you, Brian.
Tell us a little about your background. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in East Helena.
Not too far.
Not too far from here. I went to Catholic schools in East Helena, Carroll College, and Cathedral High School in Helena. So I have had quite the Catholic education.
What'd your folks do?
My mother was a registered nurse. She worked at Fort Harrison for a while because she also served in World War II.
Really? Yes. As a nurse?
As a nurse. She was educated in East Helena, and I'm so proud of the fact that however many years ago she chose to go to the University of Washington, four-year degreed nurse, and then joined World War II.
Did she ever talk about it?
Not much. Talked mostly about the friends she made, but because she was in the hospital aspect of it all, you know, she didn't see combat, but took care of an awful lot of very badly bruised and wounded soldiers.
Did that make an impression on you growing up?
You know, it did. And as a nurse at Fort Harrison, where she worked, devoted her life for 16 years, I was there on occasion, picking her up, meeting her friends, whatever. Saw lots of old veterans in the hallway, and her loving attention and care of them made an impression.
What impression?
These loving, caring old men need to be taken care of. Somebody, in addition to the nurse, has to take care of them once they come back, piece them back together, and make sure that they can get on their way. My father was also in the war, in World War II, which is where they met. He was a medic, and they met, married, and relocated to East Helena.
And what did he do in East Helena?
He did a variety of things. My grandfather had a grocery store in that smelter town, so my father helped out there a bit. And then, you know, box stores came in, and so Frank Corella's Mercantile in East Helena went by the wayside. That's when my mother joined the nursing group at Fort Harrison.
So your Catholic education, I didn't know there were Catholic schools in East Helena, but there are not now, is that correct?
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
What did you get from the Catholic upbringing that maybe sticks with you, plus or minus, as you look back?
Well, I tell you, we were forced to learn discipline. The nuns were rather strict, and it's probably appropriate for East Helena kids.
Why do you say that?
Well, we were a lot like Butte kids. We called ourselves the East Helena Mafia, and we had a great time. We did a lot of fun things, needed that ruler slap on the head or wherever periodically by the nun or the priest. When you misbehaved at school, your parents got a phone call. So it was very tight. Still, some of my dearest friends were from East Helena Grade School and Helena Cathedral High School.
Are you a practicing Catholic still or not?
I am probably about the only one I know that is practicing. A lot of my friends and family members, you know, just got a little tired of the whole thing, and religion has changed over the years, but I'm still rather faithful.
We have an interesting pope now. What's your sense for him as a longtime Catholic?
Oh, I think it's long overdue. I just love Pope Francis' style. His demeanor, his laid-back love of people, animals, every living thing. Recently, his statements on gay Catholics and participation in the congregation, oh, I think it's just wonderful. I heard recently this week, I have to look it up, that he beckoned the Cardinal of Germany to come to the Vatican because he was going to defrock or de-cardinal him, whatever it's called, because the Cardinal of Germany, who was dubbed Cardinal Bling, was spending all the church money on his personal lifestyle and lavish homes. And Pope Francis doesn't like that. It's the people's church, the people's house. His open heart, his open door policy is very, very welcome.
Someone might say, by the fact, let's say, he's so refreshingly different as you describe him, that means historically perhaps some of the church hierarchy, in your opinion, had drifted in the wrong direction? I don't want to put words in your mouth. That just seems like a fair implication.
Well, I'm hardly a student of the Vatican, but as a woman Catholic active parishioner in the Helena Diocese, I've been disappointed at the role of women or the lack of the role, the lack of openness for alternate lifestyle. While we sing and praise the all come, well, you can all come if you meet this criteria, I think has driven away a lot of Catholics. A lot of my colleagues have ceased participating because of that.
What did you study in college?
Oh, gosh. I'm not sure it'd be appropriate for for this forum. I was a general liberal arts study major. I clearly was one of those that should not have gone to college right away. But my dear sweet mother, I'm sure, thought if she didn't drag me in at that time in 1967, it was not going to happen. So she was the force that made me want to go. I went to Carroll, which proved Carroll needed a whole lot of money at that time. I was thrown out of Carroll four times.
You were thrown out four times?
I was thrown out four times.
I wonder if that's a record.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I'm sure that Carol doesn't want to say that because they do have a high standard. But I was drugged back in. The priest came and got me and made sure that I did my studies and did well. And finally, about my junior year, I think everything just clicked. And I woke up and said, by golly, I've only got a little time left here. Better make it worth my while. And I finished on the honor roll.
Clearly you had a significant shift. Was it caused by anything in particular, that sudden maturation? This is enough to, is it any incident or just?
No, I don't think so. I think it just, I truly credit my mother for that. She instilled in all of us, not just the need to, but you are required to go on to higher education, as she did. Get educated, get a career, get a job. Her determination was very inspirational to me my entire life. And that combined with the priests at Carroll, it helped immensely.
You're listening to Home Ground, and this is Brian Kahn. We're talking with Holly Luck, a longtime staff person to Senator Max Baucus. So you graduated on the honor roll. What then?
Go figure. Yeah, that was, I was pretty amazed. I was interested in social services. I finally finished with a degree in social work from Carroll. I was going to save the world. Ended up working at a local agency, the Rocky Mountain Development Council, which is a fabulous program, a multi-service agency serving Head Start youngsters, families, all the way up to senior citizens. I worked in the senior citizen program. We started Meals on Wheels and the foster grandparent program, the retired senior volunteer program. It was exciting. It was fun.
This was when?
1971. I graduated from Carroll, worked at Rocky, created these programs in a multi-county area, met the most wonderful older people with their stories and their humor. They were just darling, and I liked that very much. Slowly, I got involved in, how does all this happen? Where does this money come from? What's this legislature all about? And I paid more attention, got involved. And later went to state government working for Governor Tom Judge, running the state office on aging services for the state of Montana.
Aging services to older people?
Yes. It was now then, I went now from just the county level programs to operating them all for the state of Montana. Montana receives federal funds. We disperse the money to the counties to do senior citizen programs, buses, transportation, home health care, you know, the whole variety of services for seniors.
And basically federally funded.
Basically. There was some state money in it. There's probably more state money now, but in the 70s it was primarily federal money.
So where did that lead you in terms of future decisions?
Well, I realized how political it all was when I had to testify for the first time at the Montana legislature to defend the program, to get state money to fund senior services in our state. We're in competition with the youth programs, with transportation, environment, and it's oftentimes difficult to convince small rural state legislators to give us more money to feed old people or keep them out of a nursing home. So it was a challenge. I learned the politics of it all.
You articulated that it's sometimes hard to convince rural legislators. Why would it be more hard to be rural, you think, rural Montana or just Montana generally? Because some might say we're a rural state, even though a legislator might live in Helena, which is a city.
Smaller counties, commissioners or legislators from Harlow or Reigate or Winnet, you know, come to Helena and they're penny pinchers and they need to be. They want to fund whatever they see as the priority, and sometimes social service programs oftentimes are not on their priority list. So we need to convince them, okay, well, here's what we need to match federal funds. Convince them that we need the federal funds, or it will go back to someone else.
And you did that how? I mean, in what capacity were you lobbying the legislature?
In committee hearings, I would have to defend the aging services budget. It was in the Department of SRS at the time. It's now a much bigger department.
And this, again, was working for Governor Judge?
Governor Judge.
Okay. What kind of success did you have? And to the degree you were successful, what would you say were the keys to opening people's minds who were predisposed, let's say, initially against your position?
Well, it was very difficult, Brian, to tell the truth. One of the things we ultimately did, I think, were two fun things. One was we started the Montana Senior Citizens Association. We realized we needed a larger lobbying effort to get all the seniors in Montana on the same page, you know, not unlike AFL-CIO, to have a platform of programs and services that we needed out of the state, let the seniors lobby at the local level before the representatives end up in Helena. The second thing we did that I'm very proud of, I started the what was then called the Montana Legacy Legislature. It's now the Silver-Haired Legislature, where we created the forum for seniors to run from the county level as legislators, do their campaign locally, run, win, end up in Helena, and pass legislation just as the real legislature does. We used the House and Senate chambers. Seniors really became involved in the process. And then that was the slate of programs that the senior population in Montana took back to the real session.
What period did that function?
Well, I was at the state for maybe, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. So that was the late 70s into 80s. The first two sessions were the legacy legislature. A couple of us thought that was an interesting name and a concept because these working seniors then would leave their legacy, be it transportation programs or funding for whatever.
Fascinating idea.
It was wonderful. And the interesting thing was the majority of the legislation that came out of the first legacy legislature was not self-serving to seniors. They were worried about their grandchildren. They were worried about their farms and ranches and the environment. Periodically, there was a bill to fund a service, of course, but they really wanted and did leave a legacy for their families.
And those unofficial legislatures by seniors, if I understand it correctly, those measures they passed had traction not only with the senior community but with the real legislature?
That's true. They did because it had credibility because it wasn't just one person coming up saying, give me this, give me that. It was based on a good percentage of seniors in Montana who wanted to make sure that their legacy was well identified and secure.
How'd you end up working for Senator Baucus and when?
I was fortunate. First of all, I went to work for Senator John Melcher after the work at the state of Montana. Worked for Senator Melcher for 7 years. Some of that, well, a matter of months actually, was in D.C., where one day I went to John and said, John, this just isn't for me. I can't live here. I need to see the big sky. So I came to Helena, worked here, did primarily senior citizen activities for Senator Melcher, who was on the U.S. Senate Aging Committee at the time. He lost in 88. I was crushed and heartbroken. My life was over. And Senator Baucus called me. So I started work for Max in 1989, about 25 years with Max.
That's a fair piece of time. What have you done over that time in terms of different jobs?
I started out and still am Max's Montana scheduler. I'm kind of the gatekeeper in Montana. Once we figure out where he's going to go and who he will see, I make the arrangements, call people at the local level, talk to people who want to see him when he's out here, set up meetings, make all of his travel plans, do the balance with his personal life, when does he need to be in D.C.? Hearing will occur. He can't come out. Trying to get him out as often as we can, and he's
sure.
happy to do that.
Other things that you've done?
I'm also the field director for the state, his Helena office, serving Broadwater, Jefferson, and Lewis and Clark County. And I've worked with a lot of people, all different ages. Some I agree with, some don't ever agree with us. But I've always felt that the government belonged to the people. I know that sounds so trite and Pollyanna, but gosh darn it, people have a hard time getting in. The doors are often slammed, and I really try to open them for folks. And it's been easier over the years as Max has gained seniority. People take us seriously.
Back east, you mean?
Both, federal agencies and state and local agencies.
Now, when you say it's the people's government and you try to open doors, you're not talking about the door to Max. You're talking about the door to what?
The door of government.
Give me some examples.
I remember one case. Gosh, it was a long time ago. Remember the days when we had Montana Power, and before we had rules that they could turn the power off if you owed a balance. I had a family who I just knew was going to be eligible for Social Security. Dad was just in terrible shape. But it was a slow, agonizing process. Their power was to be turned off. This was in the 80s, I think.
Let me just jump in now. When you said eligible for Social Security,
disability benefits.
Okay, excuse me.
So going through the hearing process was awful for them. They owed $2,000 to Montana Power.
Mm-hmm.
Never forget it. Power was going to be turned off. I'm helping them through this disability process, waiting and waiting. I just knew they'd get approved. So I went to Montana Power and signed the form that said yes, is a co-sign. Like you do at a bank, said, yeah, this bill will get paid.
You signed.
I signed myself. And I thought, please, God, get this approved. And it was. And they went down to Montana Power, wrote a check for $2,000 to pay the power bill, and I breathed a big sigh of relief.
Now, I must say, having done some work for legislators in a different life, co-signing on a note is a little bit above and beyond the normal call of duty. Fair?
Fair.
Now, why'd you do that?
Well, there were agencies, social service agencies, God's love kind of programs at the time, but they had no resources either. Everybody was in a world of hurt. I believed in this family. I just felt bad for them that they had all of this history and illness and kids and broken van and no job and just waiting for the government to approve a disability payment mm-hmm. that would have been a back payment of several thousand dollars because they had fooled around so long with the case. I think the feds often want you to die or go away, but this family didn't. And I knew they were going to get approved and I knew they needed power. And so they had power and they paid the bill. And the cutest thing afterwards, they insisted on taking me to lunch.
Hmm.
Came in their new van, well, new to them, it was quite old, all dressed up, and we went to the Colonial Inn, and that man was so proud to pull his wallet out and pay for lunch by way of saying thank you.
You're listening to Home Ground. I'm Brian Kahn. We're talking with Holly Luck, longtime staff person to Senator Max Baucus. Let's talk about that, what I'll call constituent service role of staff of elected officials. It's not well discussed. It's, in my opinion, it's not well understood. But I think from my own experience, it's absolutely fundamental to getting access to, as you call it, the people's government. Now, is that your experience or not?
That absolutely is my experience. People come here. You would be surprised, Brian, what the phone calls we get. My dog is missing. I've got a parking ticket. Can you help me? I would never have thought to call a senator's office to get out of a parking ticket. But, you know, we did that too. So people are desperate often, and they do see this as their office, their entrance into the system, and can you help me? And I like not to turn anybody away. People come here with desperate stories. I had, and some kind of fun stuff on occasion. I had a lady who was going to Ireland and couldn't find her passport. I mean, like 2 days before she was going to go. I'll tell you what, we got her on. It's a long story how we got the Seattle passport office, got everything settled, FedEx back. Met her at the airport just as she was boarding the plane and handed her passport. It was unbelievable. It was fun. It was exhilarating to be able to see that to the end.
Why was it exhilarating to you?
Because it's we made the system work. She got to go on her trip. Actually, her daughter was a nun in Ireland, so of course she had to get there. So it was fun to make sure she this 78-year-old lady was able to get on the plane and go to Ireland. She didn't check her passport until 2 days before. Well, you know how that, you know, we all make those kinds of mistakes.
I know the work runs a wide gamut from the kind of personal story you told just about the family on disability or the passport to helping the local economy. And, for example, air transit is very important in a rural state like ours. You've been involved in that issue?
I have, in that the Helena Airport, for example, is planning the expansion of the fire training center that we currently enjoy here, probably the finest in the Northwest, where firefighters come all from all over the country to be trained in Helena, Montana. The FAA was funding it. They were delay out of Seattle. Airport officials here were just frantic because they were afraid they were going to lose it. Make a phone call appropriately timed and encouraging the FAA to release the funds, and funds were then immediately released, and the rest is history as to the fine facility we have out there.
You said something that as Max Baucus gained seniority and was on the Appropriations Committee, people took him more seriously, people meaning in agencies. Now, if I understood you correctly, that in a word might say clout. Now, am I misunderstanding? You, let's say, Holly Luck calls up for the senator on the Appropriations Committee, you get a more receptive hearing, perhaps, than a freshman senator that isn't in the funding pipeline.
Absolutely. You know, that we may not like it that way, but seniority matters. That's the way it works in, you know, and not uncommon in families or other institutions, but certainly does in Congress and our state legislature. It wasn't me. It was just me dialing the phone, but it was because I was representing a ranking member, Senator mm-hmm. Baucus. Max wants this taken care of, and please report back to me when it's done. And agencies will respond. That's what a 40-year career in Washington, D.C. will do for a home state.
Let me ask you, in terms of your perception of the people you're dealing with, one might say lazy bureaucrats, one might say overworked, one might say other priorities. Bureaucracy, that is these administrative apparatuses that carry out the appropriations passed by Congress, have a bad reputation, let's say. Bureaucracy itself is a bad word. What's your experience for the kind of people that pick up the phone when you call?
Well, you know, the bureaucracy has often been called the fourth branch of government because it's strong. You may have a staff person heading an agency that's been there longer than Max has, and they take ownership of the program, and they know, in their opinion, what is the best way to implement what Congress wants done. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. Max would often come out and see a program that was funded and passed and say, boy, that's not really what we intended for it to be. And so it gets changed during the regulatory process. So I have found overall that if you get to the right person within any agency, they're good folks. They want to do a good job. They want to go home at 4:30 and they don't want to have me beating on them. They'll do what we need to get done.
For some reason, the sister with the ruler came to mind.
Yes.
when you just said that.
Exactly. That's probably where I learned it, actually.
Let me venture this and see how it fits. We have these large organizations. We call them administrative or bureaucracies to implement federal policies, the laws and appropriations passed by Congress. But I'm hearing you say that having a staff person who is responsive to an elected official can be a very effective counterweight or corrective if things aren't working right. Is that an overstatement?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Max has marvelous staff, and his rule to us is get it done. We're here for Montanans. Make sure you do it right. Typically, you know, I'll bend a rule just before it breaks. Been tempted to take it further than that, but generally that's all I've needed to do. I know I have his blessing. He's trained us. He's told us his philosophy. Now go do it. On occasion, I've had him make a call to an agency if I've not been able to accomplish it. He's happy to do it. But all through that process, I know that it's his name, it's his letterhead. It's not me. I just happen to have the free phone.
You've been working for senators for more than 30 years. I know it's asking a lot, but if I ask you to look back over that 30 years and pick one or two things that really stand out to you that were deeply meaningful, what would you say?
That's a tough question, but I have to tell you, I've been blessed. I've had the best job working 32 years for the state of Montana. It's been fun. I've met marvelous people. When Max and Senator Melcher brought visitors out, ambassadors from other countries, to meet them and their staff, to have met Hillary Clinton when she was First Lady and started the health care work for President Clinton, just to see this talent and the smart people that they surround themselves with, it's been so exciting to see how all of this really works and how it's supposed to work with all of these fabulously talented people.
You said how it works and is supposed to work. Government in the last 20 years or so, maybe longer, the polls would show declining confidence. Are the people wrong, do you think, in their perception? Is their perception oversimplified? Is it working? And I'm asking another way, you know, can democratic representative government work? What do you think?
Oh, I think it has to. It's the only choice we have, and it still is the best form of government in the world. I wish we were a little nicer to each other, a little more tolerant of different opinions and different approaches. I've always thought and said that things have to get a lot worse before they get better. I'm hoping that it's on the upswing.
I'll go back a little further. It's over 40 years now for you in working to serve the people of your community in different capacities. How's that been for you looking back? How do you feel about it? It's your life.
It's been a ride, let me tell you. It's been awesome. I learned at an early age, you know, the rules are pretty simple. You know, take care of one another. How you do that is up to you, but that's the rule. I was involved with low-income programs when I worked at Rocky. Was part of establishing the Kay McKenna Youth Foundation that still is operating today in the name of our beloved Mayor Kay to keep summer programs in Helena's parks, raising the money to do that and handed it off to others who are operating it now. It's just one by one, case by case. I feel really good about what I've done. It's been fun. I probably never would have stopped had not Max retired. But it's probably okay, too. It's time to pass the torch. Maybe somebody else has a better idea. I thought I did it right. Was chastised only a few times. But off we went to the next project. So it's fun. I'm happy with what I've done.
Holly Luck, I regret to say we're out of time. I want to thank you so much for being with us on Home Ground, and I want to thank you so much for your service to the people of Montana.
Thank you, Brian.
And to our listeners, many thanks for being with us. We hope you'll join us next week. Home Ground is an independent production of Artemis Common Ground and does not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station. Post-production by Valtron Recording Studios. We welcome your ideas for new programs at www.homegroundradio.org. Home Ground is made possible by grants from the Liz Claiborne Art Ortenberg Foundation, Cinnabar Foundation, Humanities Montana, and the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication about issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans.